Okay, so we're, yeah, we're in the middle of discussing Bohr. Again, so we got to Bohr from the Sugya here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph on the bottom. This one we'll run through that one very quickly for a minute. And then I was reading the Gemara later on, which I'll get back to. I'll explain what the issue is. Right, so the Gemara again looking for Toldoseim that are Lab Kiyotzebehen, among one of the Avos. So the Gemara is going through very, painstakingly, very thoroughly, each and every one of the Avos Nezikin. And now we're up to Bohr. So the Gemara says, V'chi kamara papa told to the Bohr. This is on the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Then the Gemara says, told to the Bohr my niyu. Again, all, you know, the interesting things always come, well, not always, but often come from the things that are just, you know, en passant, that are derech agav. So the Gemara says, well, what is the tolda of Bohr? So the Gemara says, ilema av yud, the tolda tes, lo tes ksivi velo yud ksivi. If the suggestion is that the av is a Bohr that is 10 tefachim deep, and the tolda is a Bohr that is 9 tefachim deep, neither 10 nor 9 are ever mentioned in the Torah. So why would one be an Av and the other be a Tolda? In fact, where do these numbers come from? It says the Gemara Halokasha, they come from the following Pasuk, V'hames Yelo, Amrachmana, V'kimlu Rabbanan, Yud Avdin Misa, Tes Nzikin Avdi, Misa Lo Avdi. That the interpretation is V'hames Yelo, that only if the mace, if the misa took place in a bohr that is appropriate to cause that level of damage, and that's a bohr yud and beyond, but anything less than yud has the ability to be mazik, but not the ability to kill. Okay, so the Gemara says, sof sof ze'av l'misa, v'ze'av l'nezikin. Why is that an av and a tolda? Maybe the implication is that there are two avos in Bohr, one for Misa and the other for Nezikin. Ella, rather, avonos hakino maso shenichem v'rosh rishus harabim v'yiziku. The real tolda would be the following case. You have an object, right, and you place that object in rishus harabim, and somebody trips over it. So the Gemara says, Hechadami, Hidaf Karinu Ben Rabin Lishmulain Bar. If this object was made Hefker, then you're right, that would be a Bar, that would be an example of a Tolda. But Hidalof Karinu, if the Bailus over the object was retained by its original owner, notwithstanding the fact that it's in Rishus Harabim, so then, on the surface, that depends on the Machlokas Rabin Shmuel. According to Shmuel, you'd still be fine. That would still be a bar. Vilarav Amar Kulam Yishor Lamanu Ainushor. But according to Rav, that constitutes shor. Rav is the opinion that any time you own a the mazik, then it's never in the category of bar. Now, why that is, I'm not going to get into right now. But you can imagine a little bit, and that is, I mean, it's an interesting question. You know, on the one hand, ownership is a reason to make you more responsible, more connected or associated with what it is that the mazik does, and therefore more chayiv. But if you're talking about a takala, right, something that you walk into as opposed to a davar hamazik, then there's another side of the argument. And that is, well, it's my, you know, object or my bor, so, you know, why should I have to pay if he walks into my bor? Right, for the same reason, in other words, except not exactly the same either, and that is that the laws of mazik, you know, birshus harabim, birshus hamazik, and birshus hanizak, are understandably different from each other. In other words, the threshold for being obligated in nezek is much higher when the person is also invading your property, or even if he's not invading. The point is that you have certain rights in your own property. So you can imagine that the question of bailus in Bohr, since Bohr is a different kind of a mazik, Now, this bailus, when it comes to shor, is always a downside. It's always a negative. But bailus, when it comes to bor, is a double-edged sword. That's really what I'm trying to say. So Rav was of the opinion that any time ownership is retained, titular ownership is retained, in a bor, then it's not bor. You can't have a bor that you own. That's Rav's view. And Shmuel disagrees. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says, either way, Maishna bor, Shekein tchilas asiyas alenezek amamoncho shmurasan alecha, haninami tchilas asiyas alenezek amamoncho shmurasan alecha. Let's say the case is Avonu Sakinu Maso, Sheiniach Bishus Arabim Vihifkiro. Everybody agrees, even Rav, that that's a bor. But if we think that that's the candidate to fulfill Rav Papa's told the same, Lav Kiyotza Bahen, right, that doesn't seem very logical at all, because fundamentally the Tolda of bor and bor seem to be identical, in that both of them are Tchilas Asiyas on the Hezek, Mamoncha Shmuras on Alecha. Now the Mamoncha part here is a little bit tricky. As we noted last week, Tosa says, Mamoncha Lav Dafka, Gabe Bor, Delav Mamonohu, V'chein Gabe Eish. The Pshita, Midle Gedisho, Shochaveiro, Be'eish Shalacher D'chayim. Now the Eish part is actually Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas later on in Dafka Beis, as Rabbi Kiveger on the side in Gilead HaShas points out. But the Bor part seems clear that you don't have to own the Bor. The typical question is, can you own the Bor? But if you don't own the Bor, you certainly are talking about Bor. Classic Bor is Bor B'Shus Arabim. According to Rab, it always has to be unowned. And that's, of course, the famous statement. Whoever made the statement, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Eliezer, different versions, Shnei Dvarim Einim B'Shus HaShaladam, V'Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shuso, Chametz HaPesach, and Bor B'Shus Arabim. So that's why, even though the Gemara here says Mamoncha, Tosa says Lav Dafka, and he gives the example of Esh. Tosas Chachmei Anglia in Psachim and Avav wonders why, when the Gemara in Psachim, you know, uses that expression, Shnei Dvarim Einim B'Shus HaShalom Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shuso, why does it limit it to Chametz HaPesach and Bor B'Shus Arabim? According to Tosas, it should have said an Esh. So there might be a difference between the lack of ownership of Eish and the lack of ownership of Bor. In one case, maybe it's Ki'ilu that he owns it, and in the other case, it's Dafka because he doesn't own it. But I'm not going to get into that right now. And I think we also saw the Rajba last week, who says here that the phrase, Shnei Dvar, again, in responding to the Girsa of the Gemara, says, well, maybe what the Gemara means when it says Mamoncha is to take literally, you know, the conclusion of the Gemara. Shnei Dvar Einan B'Shusa Shaladam. That emphasizes that Bor, you know, is unowned, right? But Asana Kosov Kilo B'Shuso implies that it is owned, right? Legally. Now, as we impute to it the status of something, right, in which there is bailus. So which is it? I mean, it's again one of those classic statements that is Nitan Lehit Paresh, right, B'Shneyan, and you can easily interpret it in either way. And the question is legally, you know, which way to interpret it. So the Rajba starts off. That's the Rajba here. I think we said quoted it last time. On page... on page 1. Shadarka lahazukum moncha shmasna lecha. On page 1. It's the... at least on mine, I don't know if we have the same ones or not, but it's the second last entry on page 1 in mine.
Yeah, 25.
What's that?
Line 25.
Yeah, I don't have I don't think the glass hoop, we didn't have enough, so I no keep, I have one though, so it's not better that I should be, unless you have an extra. Is an extra? Oh, okay. So Shadarka lahazuk shmas alecha. So the Rajba says, "Who bor nami afagav deino mamon korile mamoncha." Right? Even though you don't own bor, right? It's legally called your money. Why? Because you created it, maybe. Vipnei, or you could have said because you created it. Like, this is a big issue. Kone shamayim va'aretz. We've mentioned it many times. Right, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. He didn't register a title, in some galactic, office. He created the world. So he's Kone Shamayim Va'aretz. That's why it's his world. Right? So you make a bor, even though in title you don't own it, because it belongs to Rishus HaRabim, on a certain level, it belongs to you, or it's associated with you. That's not what the Rajba says. Right? The Rajba instead quotes the comment that I mentioned before, Mipnei Sha'aso Akasuv Kimamono Kidamaran Shnei Dvarmen Rishus HaShonim Asana Akasuv Kidabrishusa. Right. Kane Pirish Rashi. Oh, we don't have it in our Rashi, but Veina Mechubar, the Rajba says, I don't like that. I don't think we should be emphasizing the Asana Akasuv part. We should be emphasizing the Reisha, Shnei Dvarim Einon Brishus HaShel Adam part. The Mikomakom Ein Lekroso Mamon. We shouldn't call it Mamon. But Od, Vadei Nirad Delogar Sinan Le, we shouldn't have this gears on the Gemara of Mamoncha. Mid Akshay B'Gemar Le Derav, Damar Mavizah Adam, V'Adam Shmatsan Alaka, Adam Shmiras Gufa Alav U'Parik, Tani Shmiras Gufa Alav, V'Misa Mailo Akshay Mamoncha Mamonohu. In the case of Adam. Either Gemara does use this expression, right? And on Gimel and Beis, Mistabrali, the Hasan Rabusa Kamar Acha, Lomar, Afilam Tibsa Lomar, Kivin Dukhmachman of Rishuscha, Hareuka Mamoncha, Haninami Mamoncha. Okay, meaning, basically the Rajba is saying, there are different statements in Chazal, they give different impressions. He's saying, my own view, the normative view, in my opinion, is clear that we do not consider bor to be mamoncha, and the asa nakasuv is the chiddush, not the einon brishus hashel adam. However, people, the Gemara could say what it wants because there's some ambiguity on the topic. Either way, that is the Gemara's ultimate conclusion. Okay, what we were discussing last time was the nature of bor. And what we were explaining was two things. Why is it that the Gemara had havamina, that the av and told of bor would be differentiated by the quantity or the quality of the impact, a bor of 9, a bor of 10, a bor of mazik, a bor of katala. Typically, the difference between the av and a tolda is much greater. It's a difference in surah. That was question number one. Question number two was, when the Gemara rejects that in the end, the Gemara says it's actually two avos. That's even a bigger chiddush. Where do we find that there are avos zikin that have two avos? So we did show that there are a few, actually, and particularly for the Rajba, or a few havaminas. But on the whole, this is the only explicit Gemara that speaks about two within one category of avos zikin. Right? A killer boar and a mazik boar. So we were trying to explain, and I was reading the two Lashonos of Rashi last time, is that if I was trying to suggest that Rashi was saying this, that there are really two perspectives in reading the Gemara. One is the second perspective, I'll start with that, it's the easier one, which I believe is the second Lashon of Rashi, and that is that the Gemara is Ladafka. Meaning what the Gemara means when it says that there are two avos of boar, a killer boar and a mazik boar, what the Gemara really, really means is that the concept of boar, right, is one idea, but there are two primary applications. Depending on the size of the boar, the danger or the peril that it represents, right, that in itself determines, right, what kind of payment you will be making. So it's not that there are two boars, it's one boar. There, but when what the Gemara meant when it said two avos was that the av has two echetimtzis. It has a intense misa hechetimtzi and a more moderate mazik hechetimtzi. It doesn't mean two avos. It means the av is not av and a tolda. It's the av broken up into two. And that's how I was suggesting to read the second lashon of Rashi, where he derives. The Gemara says, like, how do you know? It doesn't say tesen yud in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, right, but it does imply that there's a bor katala and a bor mazik. So Rashi's second explanation is that, not so much from the psukim, but you see from the cases that, there has to be a correspondence between the threat, or the effect, rather, of the bor and the result. And Rashi even explains, this is again part of the Inami of the Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph. Just look at it again for one more second. I'm just reading the second one first, because it's easier, even though I think it's less mechudash. Lishnachrina, sof sof ze av lemisa ze av lenezikin, tichi hechid nafik lom mikra, bor asar lemisa, nafkalan bor tes lenezakin. Unlike the first day of Rashi, which we'll see in a moment, which says that the Torah is explicit about bor misa, and therefore it implies that there's some other kind of bor, and that's bor tes. And that implies that there are two different avos, meaning there are two different bors. This point in Rashi, Rashi's saying, there's no bor tes, and there's no bor yud, there's no bor mazik, and there's no bor misa. But by saying vamesi elo, right, we learn that there's a correspondence between the danger of the pit and its effect. So ze av lenezikin, the chihechi, just as the nafik, from the same pasuk that we learned, bor asara lemisa, nafka bor tishal lenezikin. The Sivan Afal Shama, Shor or Chamor, Mashma, Bein Meis, Bein Huzak, whether this case or that case, Bala Bor Yishalem. So again, what I think Rashi is doing in this Peirush is basically integrating and splitting the difference between Mazik and Misa as just technical application of the same single principle. And that's why I think he needs also then to add, why is it that if an animal dies when it falls into a pit that is less than 10, so, you know, it was perfectly, seemingly, you know, it was a living, breathing animal before it fell into the pit and now it's dead. So why shouldn't you have to pay for its death? The answer is, Umiyu, in Meis HaShor, Amrabanan Bibor Tisha Patur, Delo Machmas HaBor Meis, Te'embo Kedei Lahamis, Aval Huza Chayim, Bibor Tisha Bar Nezikin. The answer is, because our estimation is that a healthy animal should not die by falling into a pit of 10 or of less than 10, and therefore if it does die, it isn't the pit that killed it, it was obviously the pit in combination with ill health or hashgacha or something of that sort. That's the second day of Rashi. I think the second day of Rashi is trying to explain in a very pragmatic way that there's no fundamental difference between a bor yud and bor tes, between a bor katal and a bor mazik, it's all in the details, but those details are things which we have worked out in advance. So we pretty much know that if an animal is going to die in a shallow pit, right, that the animal wasn't healthy, or that some other factors at play other than or in addition to, obviously, falling in the pit. The first day of Rashi, on the other hand, doesn't even address that question at all, meaning the question of why it is that an animal that falls into a less than 10 pit and dies, why is it potter? Rashi doesn't even think it's a question. But at the same time, Rashi does seem to think that not that there's one pasuk that teaches you two applications, but there's one pasuk which speaks about a bar misa, and which implies that there's another bor, a bor hezek. That's the very beginning of Rashi. Ze'av le'nezikin, de'im nafal shor be'bor tes, sumeis potter, Balabor, Vimhuzak Chayev, the Avhu, the Homidyuka de Kronavka de Siv Amesi Elo, the Masha Borasara, Dovar Maktil Hu, Chayev Misas Ashor. Right, we learn from Vamesi Elo that there's something called a killer pit, and that animal dies in a killer pit that you are fully responsible. Ha Batzer Mehachi, right, now implied in that is that a pit that is of less. That a lesser pit, less than 10, the misalochayev habenizakin mischayev. Okay, so it's subtle, but I'm suggesting that these are the two views of Rashi. We'll see it more explicitly in a second in the Rajba. Look at the Rajba for a minute. Look at the Rajba firstly on the first two Rajbas on page 1, which I think also are just much more explicit about this idea of taking our Gemara Kipshuto, that there really are two avos within that one category of boar. There's a killer boar and there's a mazik boar, as opposed to saying that the Gemara doesn't really mean there are two avos, they mean that there are two examples or two applications of the av. Okay. The Rajba starts off by quoting Yerushalmi, which is very fascinating. Ubrushalmi mapiklon and nizokin mi yitura de chiyichra ish boar. The Yerushalmi derives Nezikin from the Yitura, from the Ribui, of Kiyichra Ish Bor. It says Kiyiftach and Kiyichra. The Garsil Hassam, the Perakapara, Gemara, Achofer Bor, Brishus Arabim, Ksiv Kiyiftach Ish Bor, the Kiyichra Ish Bor, Bor Lamisa, Bor Lanazak. Okay, that is a great limud for there being two different psukim, two different makoros, two different bars. Sounds like two bars. I'll add, and I'll explain this in just a minute, but we really explained at the end of last year, and that is the fact that the Torah emphasizes the verb of creating the bar and different ways even of creating the bar is very consistent with the view that we're dealing with two chalos bors, if you will, two avos, a misa bor and a mazik bor. As I'll explain just what I mean by that more in a minute. Okay. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, interestingly, Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with this limud, and therefore you might have thought that Rabbi Yitzchak is of the opinion, like the what I'm suggesting is the second view of Rashi, and that is that bor lemisa, bor lenezikin are the same thing. It's just a question of the quantity and the impact. But what we'll see in a minute is that Rabbi Yitzchak, while he denies the makar, the power of that being two different makoros, two avos in bor, but at the same time he provides another chiddush which accentuates the same idea, namely that the difference between a killer bor and a mazik bor is that they're two different entities, two different legal entities. Why do I say that? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, echad bor shel misa, echad bor shel nezakin, shnei b'mikra echad nisrabu. Okay, that ruins the first point. You don't have two bors anymore in the psukim, right? Bor lebor shel misa, right? At omer pater ala kelin, hukashuba lebor shel nezakin, at omer chayev ala kelim. So even though he denies the two bors in the psukim, he does something far more mechudash, and that is he tells us that one of the chidushim of bor is that you're pater for kelin, meaning if the animal that falls into the bor is also laden with kelim, right, and the kelim get damaged in the bor, then you're pater for that, like tomun beish. Okay, we'll try to explain why that might be in just a second. Right, but that's the Ptur Kalim. But the Yerushalmi has a view, Rabbi Yitzchak, which says that the Ptur Kalim applies to a killer boar, but it doesn't apply to a mazik boar. Now, logically, why that should be, I don't know. Right, but it doesn't matter to me for the moment. It certainly seems to imply that the difference between a mazik boar and a killer boar is not just, you know, the correlation between the depth of the boar, right, and the effect, because what does it have to do with kalim, one way or another? You can have vulnerable kalim, fragile kalim, and you can have very durable kalim. That's not the issue. No one's saying here that we're going to reassess the size of the boar, you know, for the impact on the kalim. If we were saying that, then that would be eminently reasonable, frankly. But we're not talking about that. We're saying this is Gzeres HaKasuv, this idea, right, that kelim are mufka, that they're patur, that only applies to a killer boar. It doesn't apply to a nezik boar. I'm going to explain why I think that is in a minute, but it's not obvious.
Kasa demisa cannot apply to a kelim.
Oh, so maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. But the point is that why should we care? I mean, again, if an animal falls into a killer boar and only gets damaged, right, you're simply going to pay the nezek. Right? So why wouldn't you pay for the shviras kelim? So I'm going to explain all this in 1 second. Umashma demarbe lemi tur d'chiyichor ishbor v'hoda darshina b'gemara l'korach r'kor. He's back on the first shot. Ha'hu michiyiftach michiyichra aval hasam darsh miribuya d'bor bor. Two bors, because two of us. Umi bor shel misa, now the Rashba elaborates it, mi bor shel misa patar sa adam, v'yas ha-kelim, havalo mi bor shel nezakin, dahinu bor tes, afagav the mashma de polig ha-gemaran, right, on the Babli, in other words, b'chiv ha-kelim. When it comes to chiv kelim, it doesn't seem in our Gemara, in the Babli, that we distinguish between a killer bor and a mazik bor. Dilu b'gemarin patras hakelim b'kol bar. Gidisa behedri parakameniach. B'kulam ane korbim shor v'lo adam, chamar v'lo kelim, v'hani milin yon misa, avlin yon zakin, right? Adam chayev kelim p'turim. Ube mechilted Rabbi Shmuel, bor, base poem, bor lemisa, bor lenizakin, etc. The point is that there are two elements in this Rajba, right, that are seem to point to the fact that we take literally the idea that there are two avos for bor. And the question is, why, and why does it express itself in these two different ways? But I think the answer, let's read the next Rajba. Sof ze'av lemitzav ze'av lenezikin. Once again, the Rajba is up front. He's carrying the heavy burdens here. Kashali, sof, kim de bor, tisha, eno lenezikin, vafilim espo, potor, neima asara av, the tisha told. Like, what's so terrible about saying that one is an av and the other is a tolda? I mean, frankly, what motivates the question of the Rajba is that, you know, even according to his own, continuation, we'll see in a second, which I alluded to last week, the notion of there being two avos within one of the avos and zikin, right, is if not, unknown in any other, in the Gemara for any other av, it's that's for sure true. But if not unknown completely, which the Rajba claims it's not, is certainly much more rare than simply there being an av and a tolda, right? So why not just say, you have this and you have that, it's an av and a tolda. Vilesa, says the Rajba. Not correct. How'd that happen? Okay, I got it. The Vilesa. Where did that come from? Are the mysterious doings here in the Israel to make us say. What's that? Or Ruach Shena Mitzuya. Okay. The Lesa. The Bar Asara Bar Tisha Harein Kikeren. Wow. Meaning, what's the Lesa? It's not true that we don't find this phenomenon of the two Avos within an Av Nezikin anywhere else. Because we do. Where? Karen, right? What's with Karen? Shamuetz Mishalim Nezek Shalem. The Tamayin and Mishalim and Lachatzi Nezek. Wow. I mentioned it last week, so it doesn't sound so strange. But the Raj was of the opinion that the difference between Muad and Tam, which according to simple Pshat, there's not two Avos within the Av. These again, Echatimsis. This is a bizarre behavior. This is the new... this bizarre pattern is the new normal for this animal. Okay? But according to the Rajba, it's not true. One is an Av, the other is another Av. Shekol echad mehem Av b'fnei atzmo. Af agav, the tamen mishalim. This is a strange line, which I'm not going to go into right now. I'll just tell you what's strange about it. The af agav, the tamen mishalim in aliyah, lo kori le'tolda. For some reason here, the Rajba thinks that avos are actually more parallel to each other than an av and a tolda, which is not so strange. I mean, when we talked about Melachos Shabbos, we talked about this, right? What are closer, me'ena avs, right, or an av and a tolda? The answer is in different. The dynamic is just different, right? Who's closer, a father and a child, DNA wise, father and a child, or two siblings? Basically, it's kind of the same question. The answer is in different respects, right? Siblings share the same parents and the same environment. But a father and a child, half of the half of the DNA is practically a clone. So, who's closer? The answer is hard to say. So what's interesting about the Rajba was bothered by the following question. He says, how could Tam, he's not saying, there's no Vim Tomar V'yei Shlomar here, but there might as well be, right? The word V'af is a miniature Vim Tomar V'yei Shlomar. So what bothered the Rajba? He's saying like this, I'm telling you now that Karen, right, Muad and Karen Tam are two avos, right? But, you know, how can that be when Karen Muad is Mishalim Minu Aliyah, and Karen Tam is Mishalim only Migufo? Meaning, Karen Tam, you can never pay more than the value of the animal, the mazik itself. Let's say the animal, let's say the, you know, your a cow, you know, inflicted $1,000 damage on his cow or whatever, but your cow is only worth $100. So instead of paying $500, you can't pay more than $100. That's the din, that Tam is only Mishalim Migufa. Right? But once it's Muad, all bets are off. Then it's the value of the Nezek, no matter what the value of the Mazik is. Correct? So it bothered the Rajba. I wouldn't have been bothered by this. I would have actually thought that this was a proof to the concept. Right? I would have said, oh, a proof that Karen Muad and Karen Tam are different Shemos Av within the larger Avs, that one is Mishalim Migufo, the other is Mishalim, you know, Miamino Aliyah. For some reason, the Rajba thinks that the more they're both two avos, as opposed to being an av and a tolda, right? Or I guess an av, two expressions or two examples of the same av, right? The more there should be not fundamental differences between them. I would have thought the opposite. Okay. So he says, either way, he says, lo korale tolda, the ena doma lechatzi nezek tzroros de korale tolda. He just points out, you know, there's chatzi nezek tzroros, there's chatzi nezek tam. One is a tolda. Tzroros is considered tolda of regel. Right? Tam is not a tolda, you know, of Karen. It's either a second av or a hechatimtzi of the av. So he says, the hasam, bein nezek shalem bein chatzi nezek kulim regelacha. In the case of tzroros, it's the same foot. What does he mean by that? Meaning, the animal puts its foot down when it walks. And sometimes a stone flies off, you know, and causes other damage. It's basically the same action. So that's called an av and a tolda. Different results from the same action. But, ein adoma, the nezek of a tam and the nezek of a muad. Meaning it used to be docile Bessie, and now it's ferocious Bessie, right? Graduated when it became a muad. There's a different status. There's no different status or even different surah in the case of tzroros. So it's just interesting in this very nuanced question about, you know, let's say three categories we can talk about. An av and a tolda, two parallel avos within one category, and saying one av with more than one hechatimtzi, you know, a different dimension of the same av, right? How different would they be, and what would characterize those levels of differences? In these few lines, the Rajba is relating to that question. You can agree with what he says or disagree, but either way, that's what he's doing. Anyways, he adds, aval bekan beis karnosein lo rezeh kerezeh, meaning the two avos, the chein adin. I mean, Karen Tam, Karen Muad. The Chena Din Bar Asara Bar Tisha. So he's comparing Bar Asara Bar Tisha to Karen Tam and Karen Muad. Amazing. Where one is Min Aliyah and one is Migufo. Right? Where one is Chatzi Nezek and one is Nezek Shalem. That's the difference between. That's Lashitaso that he liked the Yerushalmi. Namely, that Kiyichra Kiyiftach. Or there's an afkamina legabe kalim. Okay, but what's it all about? So I think what it's really all about, and again, this fits in very beautifully with the other Rajba that we saw, the other two Rajbas that we saw, the one about Mamon. The Rajba wants to play up the fact that Bor, Likula Alma, isn't considered to be Mamono. Right? He doesn't like the interpretation that, you know, it may not be financially Mamoncha, but Al Pidin it's Mamon. He doesn't like that. And then there's the other Rajba that we read last week. That's the Rajba from the beginning of the year, which said that the din of Einon Shemin Adin applies only to Bor. Meaning, the Mechilta says, why ki yichra and ki yiftach? Once you said ki yiftach, what do you need ki yichra? Right, kol shekein, kav chomer. If opening an existing pit makes you liable, right, then certainly digging the pit makes you liable. It says the mechilta ein onshin min adin. So the Rishonim will ask, we talked about this again last week, but early in the year especially. The Rishonim will ask, what are you talking about? Ein onshin min adin. The whole, starting from the Mishnah, on Dav Beis Amid Aleph, you know, through the Gemara's on Dav Yud Amid Aleph, the Gemara's back and forth trying to learn these things from each other. What do you mean ein onshin min adin? So they give different answers. Mari Katz has an answer, Tosas can answer. The answer of the Rajba is, the Mechilta only said what it said by Bor. Bor is the most mechudash of the Avos, the Zikin. Bor is passive. Bor, the other side walks into it, so it's contributory from the side of the Nizak. Right? Bor, there's no Bailus, the Shitaso. Okay. So the Rajba is a champion of Bor, mostly, of Bor being an outlier. Being unusual. And that same Rajba is embracing the notion of the Rishalmi, right? And of the idea that we're dealing with two different avos. So what's this all about? So it goes back to what I said last week, and that is, there are two ways, probably, to explain, you know, Bor, and to integrate, you know, Bor into the avos hazik. One is to suggest that despite all the appearances, right? There's really no, the common denominator overrides the differences, or would appear to be peculiar or mechudash, you know, dimensions of Bor, we should be neutralizing in the end of the day. Because obviously they're not legally significant, because this is all the things we would have said if we didn't know that Bor was chayiv. But once we know Bor is chayiv, and it's going to take its place in this elite, you know, club, you know, together with Aish and Karen and Shane and Regel and maybe Adam. So we know that it's, you know, extreme and, you know, idiosyncratic features are not so significant. And that's the view that is taken by many. Or, what one can say is that every one of the Avos Hazikin, even if there is a common denominator between them, all, but still each one is unique and singular, and a different mechayev. And in the case of Bor, right, is maybe the most singular in that its passivity, you don't say, oh, it's a passive mazik. Or, you know, you're chayev despite, you know, a lack of ownership. Right, and so on and so forth. What you have to say about Bor is that what appear to be its weaknesses are really its strengths. Meaning, the key to Bor is ein darko leilu halahazik, true, but also tchilas asiyaso mazik. Meaning, yitziras atakala is the mechayev. Creating the Bor is what you're chayev for. Being mekalkel, last week spoke about Rashi, mekalkel brishas harabim, right? Maybe lifneiver, maybe lifneiver particularly in Bor, an idea that the Nesha Chachma seems to suggest. Again, the Lifnei Iver is suggested by some Rishonim, including the Adraman in Bava Basra and Afchavam Bar Aleph, as a mokor for the Issur LaHazik more generally. But the Meshech Chachman, as Perish suggests, maybe dafka for Bor. Meaning, what's unique about Bor is that it's not mazik, you're chai for Yetzira Satakam. How does it explain the rest of it? The Bor, the separate, you know, Avos and everything else. The answer is because it's all predictive. It's all anticipatory. You're chayev for creating this mazik, and therefore we label it at the outset. Like, what have you done? What have you imperiled? What is the nature of the peril that you have constructed such that you're chayev for it if there ends up being damage connected to it? You're not chayev for the act of hezek or nezek per se. Or hezek, I should say. You're chai for the nezek, but you're not chai for the hezek. Because it's passive, and the other fellow walks into it. But what you are chai for is creating the mikshal, and you're chai for things that predictably, right, were imperiled by your behavior, merosh. That's why there can be a two chalosis. There's a difference between creating a katala peril and creating a mazik peril. In the end of the day, when it comes to hezek, if you're reconstructing, who's responsible for this hezek? Misa hezek. Right? There's no difference between misa and nezek. There might be a difference in how much you'd pay, or, but in the end of the day, it's a detail. But there can be a difference if chachamim kimlehu, that it takes kedei lahamis, ten tvachim, and we'll see some nuances in this in a moment, then what we're saying is you're chayiv for the takala, for a misa takala, differently than when you're chayiv for a mazik takala. All that is mirosh. Echad, no, hakore v'ha poseach, right? Echad bor misa, echad bor mazik. I think that explains a little bit the kalim too, meaning kalim is associated with a bor shel mazik, not with a bor shel misa. Right? Meaning, and for that reason, it also explains the din of animal that falls in a bor pachas miyun and dies. Now, Rashi in the second daya had to explain that, oh, obviously this animal wasn't in perfect health. Or there's some sort of other factor, you know, that somehow diminishes, right, his absolute responsibility. One more second. But now what we can say is that it doesn't matter, let's say we're totally convinced that this animal died because it fell into this boar of nine tvachim. It doesn't matter, because nine tvachim is not a takala for misa. You're chayiv for the yitziras ha-takala when there's a corresponding nezek. But you're never going to be chayiv for a hezek, right, that goes beyond the peril that is objectively identified or associated what with Yetziras HaTakala. Yeah?
Understand, if you're chayiv for creating this nezek,
yeah.
It's 10
tvachim. No, you're not chayiv for creating the nezek. You're chayiv for creating
the
takala.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are you pater on kalim? Even though it's 10 tvachim, why are you pater on kalim?
Because kalim is
9 tvachim, why shouldn't you be chayiv on 10 or 20?
I'm sorry?
If you're chayiv on 9...
Right. The answer is because it's a killer boar. We don't associate in a, when we're talking about about killing an animal, that's the only thing that we focus on. In a mazik boar, it doesn't matter whether you mazik the animal or you mazik what the animal is carrying. But when the chiddush, the extra chalos, which ends up being its chumra, ends up being its kula, the greater peril kind of distracts us, you know, from the monetary. If there will be a monetary part, it will be a monetary part. That's fine. But the point, this isn't a pit that imperils, you know, money. So we're not going to go so far to say that if there's nezek and a killer boar, you know, that you're not chayiv for it. But what we're saying is that kalim can be integrated into nezek. Kalim are never integrated into misa, because they're kalim. I don't think it had to be that way. I'm trying to explain the Yerushalmi, but I think it's reasonable. So now, having said that, I want to go back to the remarkable case that we... or the remarkable issue that we discussed at the very end of last week's shiur, and that is the case of whether or not you really need a ten tafach bor, or you need a ten tafach impact or fall. Yeah. First, I'll take questions.
No, I was just going to say, in civil law and criminal law,
yeah,
you wind up liable for whatever, even something that's not foreseeable happens. If a person gets killed, it's called felony murder. You could be sitting in a getaway car, and you'll be just sitting behind the wheel of a car,
right?
And you can be held liable if within the bank your compadre shoots somebody. So in other words, the damages don't have to be foreseeable. Once you embark on a road of felony. Whatever happens, even unforeseeable, you will lie.
So it's different here.
Yeah, altogether different.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay, so, yeah.
Is the board's assumption that the person intentionally harm people or to harm animals?
No, not necessarily.
Why is he digging a pit in the Rosh Hashanah?
I don't know. He has a compulsion.
No, I mean,
he's trying to find. What? It is tchilas asiyasa, meaning it's omed lekach. This is what it threatens. It imperils. It doesn't have to be his motivation.
There's no reason why a person would do
it. Maybe he wanted to put a tree in it. The tree didn't come.
Maybe he, you know, he's looking for buried treasure. I don't know. Can we say that he's looking for buried treasure?
Makes it look pretty.
Or that he has some sort of a compulsion? Or that he needs exercise? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't have to be. No. It's irrelevant. His intention is irrelevant.
Okay.
So I want to go back to the case of last week. What?
Gemara had the case. They used to dig cisterns in the Shisharab to collect the rainwater.
Yeah, so the Gemara on Davav, the Gemara has it in a few places, is wondering, is that really a classic bor, given that it isn't really Tchilas Asiyas al Nezek? There's a good reason. There it's a constructive reason. Right. So, but we're talking about cases where it's a classic case that it's even Tchilas Asiyas al Nezek. Does he have to have Kabbana Lahazik? The answer is no. Tchilas Asiyas al Nezek is an objective statement. Namely, when he built, as opposed to the cistern case, where it isn't Tchilas Asiyas al Nezek.
If he started doing the cistern, he didn't get a chance to put the fence around it, and something fell in.
Right, so it might. That's a question. We'll get them. That's the Gemara Nava. Okay, let's turn our attention back to that case because I was running last time, and then I want to talk about also being extending a bor from 8 to 9, from 9 to 10, from 10 to 11, from 10 to 20. Okay, who's chayav? Both one, which one? Right. We'll try to do it quickly. I want to get moved to the next thing next week. But let's first go to the Gemara here on Nun Amud Beis. I'm just going to run through this Gemara quickly again because it's very, very, very important. Okay, so the Gemara here, again, I told you about it, but we didn't really... you also have the text in the sheets for whoever... It's always better looking at Gemara. So first of all, this is the main Mishnah that we've been speaking about. Here on Nun Amud Beis. Mishnah says, a chofer bor b'rishus harabim, or you dig a bor b'rishus harabim, v'nofel l'tocho, shor o chamor. And an animal walks into the bor and, you know, and gets injured or killed. Right? Chayv. Echad a chofer bor, or shiach, ma'ara, charitzin, itzin. But it doesn't have to actually be an official bor. It could be any other, you know, structure that you dig. In all these cases, chai. Gemara says, "Im kein lama nemar bor." So why mention bor? The answer is ba bor sheyesh bo kedei lahamis asar tvachim. Of course, sheyesh bo kedei lahamis asar tvachim. In order to be chai for the misa of the animal, it has to be something that has kedei lahamis, meaning something that is estimated, and that's 10 tefachim, to have the capacity to, you know, to cause this level of destruction. Fine. The Gemara says, "How you chusin me'asar tefachim?" And what if the pit is, or any of these structures are less than 10 tefachim? V'nafal tocho shor chamor umeis. The answer is potter. V'im huzak bo chay. Okay, that's the Mishnah that makes this distinction. The Argamara, which is talking about a killer boar, the Mazik boar, really has its roots in this, in the Psukim, of course, in Mishpatim, and in this Mishnah. Fine. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Bor Shechiva Olav, this is going to run through the Gemara very quickly. It's a very long, very important Gemara. We're only going to zero in on certain things, but we'll just go through the Gemara. Amar Rav, Bor Shechiva Olav, Torah Lahavala V'lo L'chavata. Fascinating discussion. Rav is the opinion that what's mechayiv in a bor is not the impact, but the environment. Amakasova chavata karka olamud mazkalei, because the impact is just the landscape, essentially. And that, you know, you can't blame him for the landscape. It's fascinating.
I mean,
even though he made the landscape dangerous, right, in terms of the discrepancy between, you know, where the animal is and where the animal ends up being, right, he makes the landscape into a takala. But since the landscape is karka olam, you know, so Rav was of the opinion that that's not enough to be mechayev you. Amazing. Okay. Ushmuel amar lahavala v'kol shekein l'chavata. He thinks the environment, the asphyxiation, whatever it is, or the, you know, whatever it is, the claustrophobia, the breathing, the air quality, whatever it is, but kol shekein lechavato, the impact. Right, v'im tomer lechavato amar Torah v'lo lavalo. If you want to suggest that maybe, according to Shmuel, it's only chavata and not havala, he says, Torah hi'ida albar v'afilim alei svugim shal tzemer. It's not true. Torah says bor, it doesn't say what's in the bor. So maybe you have, you know, like Osama bin Laden's, you know, bor, you know, before they caught him, they kept saying he's living in a pit, you know, it's this luxurious pit, right? Everybody was imagining this, like, amazing, you know, pit with, you know, svugim shel tzemer. But, you know, I was always feeling a little badly for him because, you know, a Torah he'idah that, you know, the environment can't be so great anyway, unless it really wasn't a bor, but they were claiming it was. My benayu, ikim benayu, right, the Ovid, gova brishus harab. L'rab, agova l'mechayev l'shmuel, agova nami mechayev. Let's, the nafkamina would be, what if you have an obstruction, right, that is
raised
in rishus harabim, and then the person falls on that or whatever and trips, and therefore the impact is ten tfachim, but there's no environment of a bor. I mean, there's no, you know, air quality issue, and there's no sense of claustrophobia, right? So that would be a debate. If it's chavata, you have that. If it's havala, you're lacking it. The Gemara says, "My time of the Rav, I'm a krov nafal, ashivol derech nefila." Right? It has to be nefila specifically. The Shmuel v'nafal kol du mashma. Then the Gemara says, "Tan im kein lamin emar bor, ma bor shesh beikir lahamis asara tvachim, av kol shesh kadei lahamis asara tvachim." That's a quote of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, "Bishon v'le Shmuel af kol asuye gova." The word af kol means it doesn't matter whether you fall down or you fall from a height. Right? Either way, the shear of asara tvachim is what's koveh. El l'rav af kol lasuye mai. So the Gemara said lasuye, right? Charitzin neitzin, charitzin neitzin behedjik tanilu. They're explicit in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara tani v'hadam befarish. Then the Gemara says v'hani kulu dekatani lamali. Why do you actually need neitzin and charitzin and ma'aros and so on and so forth? Says the Gemara tzricha di tana bor havamina bor asara hu de isbe havala. Mishum de katin, right? Ukricha, aval shiach de arich. One is long, eva basara. Maybe it's not as you know, claustrophobic, or the air quality isn't, you know, affected by. Maybe the dimensions, in other words, it's not just the depth underneath the ground level, which is kovea the havala. It's the, again, it's the, you know, the claustrophobia. So therefore, it's the dimensions of the of the space as well. Mitanashiach, Avaminashiach Hasara, Disle Havalim Shim de Katin, Ava Ma'ara, Dimiraba, Ma'ara, it has a connotation of being squared, right? Ema Basara Lesba Havala, Itanim Ma'ara, Avamina, Ma'ara Basara, who Isbe Havala, Mishum de Metallo, because a Ma'ara has also a covering, right? So that maybe that affects the Havala environment, but Charitzin is open, Delo Metalli, Ema Basara Lesbu Havala, fine. Itan charitzin, hava mina charitzin asara disbe havala mishum leislei. What is that? Revicha milael, right? Tvei metatoi, hava itzin the revicha milael tvei metatoi. Right, the relationship between the, you know, the front part and the back part. Ema basara leisbu havala. Come on, these are all different, interesting suggestions about what it is about this very kind of mysterious havala, right, which is again the environment of the pit, you know, separate from its impact, you know, that is kovea. Okay, how open it is, how, what the dimensions are, etc. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanan, Hayuprusim Asar Tvachim, Vinafal Toka Shara Chamar, Umeis, Pator, Vimuzak Bochai. Right, we just said that if it's less than 10 Tvachim, and the animal falls and it is killed, you're potter. So the Gemara says, Nafal etoko shor chamar, umeis, right? Potter. My tam alav mishum deleis bechabata. Why are you potter? It must be because the idea of that kind of an impact, right, doesn't apply less than 10 tefachim. So there's no chabata less than 10. There's no negative impact. Says the Gemara, lo. Mishum deleis bechavala. Maybe there is chabata, but what's lacking is havala, where you don't have enough of a pit environment. Says the Gemara, Yochim, huzak b'chayiv, then why yichayiv? Right, haleis bei havala. The din of havala and chavata, the whole discussion is not only about misa, it's also about mazik. So obviously there has to be some sort of a pit environment even under ten tefachim. Amri, the Gemara says, ein havala la misa, v'yesh havala la nezakin. Meaning there are different levels of a toxic environment, right? And not just, in other words, the impact of 10 and less than 10 is one factor, and the environment of 10 and less than 10 in terms of havala is another factor. Okay, then comes the case that we're interested in. The Gemara says, Hahutura de Nafal la Arisa de Dalai. You had this shore, which fell into Arisa de Dalai. So that was like a Rashi explains what is Arisa de Dalai. Yor de Dalai. Mashkasados. It's like a pit that you use to irrigate the fields. Via mukam ama. It's an ama deep. Ulafika chinikres amas hamayim. For the word ama. Da muka ama ruchava ama. An ama typically is six tvachim. Okay? So the Gemara says this animal fell into basically a six tefach bore, and what happened was shachte mare. The guy pulled out his shechita knife, right away, and he shachted it, meaning thinking that some rabbi was going to come along and call it a trefa. So he figured he would get in the shechita beforehand, and that way he'd be able to eat the animal. He'd be we benefit from the meat. So the Gemara says, Tarfe.
Was it a husak in any way?
I'm sorry?
Was it damaged in any way?
Probably.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what happened to it, but clearly something happened to it. So the Gemara says, Tarfe Rav Nachman. Right after he shechted it, Rav Nachman, you know, pronounced that it was treif. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Ishakil Mare, the Haitura, Kaba de Kimcha, the Ozal Tanib e Midrasha, Imshasam Eisleis Kshera, Lo Afsade Litura, De Shava Kamakavi. So Rav Nachman basically said, listen, if you hadn't been so precipitous, thinking you were being clever, you know, and done this Shechita, right, a wiser thing that you could have, should have done was, you know, take a dollar from your wallet, go buy yourself supper, right? Because you don't need the animal to eat for your next meal. So take a dollar, go to the store, buy yourself a meal, wait 24 hours. If the animal moves around in 24 hours, then turns out that it isn't a treif animal. And then you've saved yourself a lot of money, because the $1 that you're going to spend on supper, right, is a lot less, you know, than the value of the animal, which was his way of saying. And he says, instead you should have gone, you know, to buy yourself supper, then gone into the Beis Medrash and learned a little bit, been a little patient, and who knows, you could have saved yourself a fortune. Okay? A good line by Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara is analyzing this case. Alma, because so Rav Nachman, yesh chavata b'pakas mi'asara. Now the animal fell in six tvachim. Right? So why did Rav Nachman did say that if the animal is going to move around, then he glay milsa, that it's not a trefa. But since the guy wasn't patient and he thought he was being clever, and the animal's now dead, right, he made it a trefa. Why didn't he make it a trefa? It only fell six tvachim. So you see from there, says the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is really interested in, the yesh chavata b'pachas mi'asara, that even though it's less than 10 tefachim, the impact has the ability to be mamis. Eisvei Rav Nachman, right? But the Mishnah says that less than 10 tvachim, you're not chayv for the misa of the animal. My time allah, mishum delays be chavata? Isn't that because there's no chavata? And since there's no chavata, right, therefore, there shouldn't be treifa either. Says the Gemara, lo, mishum delays le havala. Meaning, there is chavata b'pachus miasara, but maybe you're not chayev mishum chavata because it's karka olam. Legally, you're not chayev, even though it did kill the animal. But karka olam killed the animal, the landscape, not you. So you're chayev only for havala, and ein havala pachus miasara. Says the Gemara, yachi, but if that's the case, same Gemara as before, huzak bo chayev, the Mishnah does say that if there's damages or chayiv, if there's no havala pachas me'asara, haleis be'havala. Amalei, the Gemara gives the same answer. Ein havala misa, v'yesh havala nizak. Okay, fine. So we're just basically at a point where we have this fascinating story of Rav Nachman, where he made an animal treifa when it only fell 6 tefachim, and the Gemara is trying to figure out what the implications of this are with regard to the question of yesh chavata pachas me'asara tefachim or not. Good. Gemara tries to bring another raya. Eisve beis haskila haya gavoa shtei komos. The when somebody was chayiv skila, so they used to throw him first off the second floor of this structure, right? The taniyala the komos shalo, right? Harekan shalosh viso kedai teresh kavata bepachos miyud. Lamelikulai, would he need such a high building? If we really think that the impact of even less than 10 tefachim is something which can kill, says the Gemara, "Velitamech navid asara," right? The base askila was quite a bit higher than 10, so obviously it's not the minimum that it takes for the impact of a fall to kill, right? Obviously, there's some other factor, says the Gemara. Elik Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Amar Rabaravo, Amar Krav Yahafta L'Reacha Kamocha. Brorlo misa yafa. Part of Yahfta Rech Kamocha is that even if you have to mete out the death penalty, obviously to somebody who isn't a model citizen, there's still an aspect of Yahfta Rech Kamocha, right, in a merciful death, a more merciful death. Brorlo misa yafa. So by throwing him off a higher, part of the structure, right, there's less. It's a less painful death. Okay. So the Gemara says, if the higher the fall, the less, the greater the compassion, so why don't we make it even higher? So the Gemara says, no, because you have to balance that, mishum de menava, right? Because we also want, eventually, to be able to bury him and so on. So the nivol, right, is the counterfactor. Okay. Then the Gemara says, esve. Ki pala nofel mimenu, referring to maka. You have to build a maka around your home, right? But to prevent people from falling off and getting killed. So the Gemara says, velo betocho. That teaches us that you have to build a maka on a roof, right? But if you're level to the ground and then there's something below the ground level, it sounds like you don't have to make a maka. Right? Kifa nofo mimenu, mimenu velo betocho. Okay, tzad, oisa rishis rab gavo mimenu asar tfachim. If the rishis rab is 10 tfachim higher, then the nofo mitocho, litocha, and the person fell from rishis rab down into the place, patur, amuka mimenu asar tfachim, the nofo mitocho, litocha, chayim, viso kataitachesh kavata bepachas miyud, lamali asara, why 10 tfachim? Says the Gemara, Amalei shiny bias. The kol pachas me'asara la bias. Maka requires a bias. Does he say maka ligagecha is in the context of building a bias? And a bias requires the 10 tefachim here is not for the impact; it's for the bias. Fine. Gemara says yihach ashtanami da'ava mevroi asara. Let's say it's exactly 10 tefachim, but it's not 10 tefachim on the inside; it's only 10 tefachim on the outside. Is that considered a bias? So the Gemara says, "Dalmine tikra maziva migavoi lo havasara." I'm like, "Kagon, right? The chok migavoy, that he cut on the inside, so it actually, even on the inside, it's ten tefachim. But yachi kilo havanami mevroi, asara mishkachas ad havan migavoy, asara kagon de chok tvei. Fine. Elahayna tamad rav Nachman. Now we get to the punchline. The Gemara is going back and forth and back and forth. Is ten less than ten tefachim the chavata, which can kill or not? Most of the Gemara seems to be saying it seems like it's not, so we're left in this quandary. If you need ten tefachim, you know, impact in order to kill, so why did Rav Nachman pronounce that this animal that fell six tefachim was a treifa? Says the Gemara, Elahein de Talmud Rav Nachman Savar Mikresa de Torah La'ara Kamahava Arba'a Arisa de Daloi Kamahava Shisa Ha Asara Ishtakach Dechi Kamachabet Me'asara Hu de Mechabet. The Gemara says, no, you don't understand. The animal is standing from the ground till the stomach area, right? There's four tefachim. There's six tefachim that it fell. Altogether, that's ten tefachim. That's an impact of ten tefachim. Ten tefachim can kill. That's why he was pronounced a treif. So the Gemara says, Elamasisin diktani, ma borshu kedei lohamis yud tefachim, av kol sheishbo kedei lohamis yud tefachim, b'shisanami sagi. So the Gemara says, that's great to explain the story about Rav Nachman, but what about the Mishnah that says that a killer boar is only 10 tefachim? Right? It should be that a killer boar is 6 tefachim. Because the animal stands for tefachai, right? And then it falls 6, so the combined impact is 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, Omri masnisen de'igander labor. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the animal rolled into the boar. Meaning the animal wasn't standing. The animal was lying down. Right? And when it was lying down, it rolled into the boar. So the only way to get a 10 impact fall is if the boar is worth 10 tefachim. That's the end of the Gemara. So many Rishonim, most Rishonim, the simple reading of the Gemara is that in light of this Gemara, you have to reread the Mishnah. Not reread the Mishnah. I mean, you have to reformulate the halacha of the halacha in the Mishnah is misleading. How many times does an animal, get killed by rolling into a boar from a state of lying on the ground? I can guarantee you it's not 50%. Probably not even 10%. Right? So, even though the Mishnah says that anything less than a 10 tafach boar, you're not chayav for misa. Or if you're writing halacha, if you're writing a Rambam, in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, or you're writing, your Shulchan Aruch, your Chosha Mishpat, in light of this Gemara, which does seem to be normative, right, you have to rewrite the Mishnah. I don't mean literally rewrite the Mishnah, but you have to rewrite the halacha. Namely, ten tefachim be gandari, but in 80% of the cases, the shiur of a boar, right, it's not really a din in the size of the boar. It's a din in the size of the fall or the impact of the fall. So you always have to measure, right, the size of the animal, the size of the pit, and if you get a 10 tefachim combination, then the animal, it's kedei lahamis, and the balim should be chayiv to pay for the bisa. Correct? And that is indeed the view of the Ramah. Many Rishonim, that's a simple reading of the Gemara. Obviously, what troubled the Rishonim, who weren't so happy with this, is that you have an explicit Mishnah. That Mishnah is repeated by our Gemara in the first parak. Right? It's hard to understand why the Mishnah, would be talking about a 10% case. Right? So is there any way to maintain the din of the Mishnah as the halacha, right, and still to explain the Gemara about Rav Nachman, which is also apparently normative? Actually, it's interesting that the Rambam, when he quotes a din of the Mishnah, makes no qualification. There's no reference to a gandari anywhere. Look here at Perikin Beis, Halacha Yud for the moment. Perikin Beis, Halacha Yud. Second, we have it somewhere. Where is it?
5-1.
Yeah, halacha yud. On page 5, right? So, echad achofer bor hoshiachom ma'arol charitz. This perikin beis halacha yud. V'lama nemar bor rather ad shiabo kadei lahamis. Ukamakama kadei lahamis omek asar tfachim. Ha'aluhay apakos v'asara v'nafal etocha shor of shar behema chayev oath. Umeis potter. Vimusku chaye. Baal takala nezek shalom. Correct? Is there any hint there about a gandari? No. Rav never mentions a gandari. Again, Perikin Beis Halacha Tesvav. Rav says, Asa tel gavoa b'shus harabim. If you build an obstruction in b'shus harabim, right, which is high. V'nizchav tebo behema umeisa. The animal tripped on it and died. Im hoya gavoa asar tzvachim. If the height of the obstruction is 10 tzvachim, meaning the impact is 10 tzvachim, chayav l'shalem. V'imay papas me'asara, potter. Al misas behema, aval l'mhusko b'vad chayav l'shalem nezek shalem. Afilu tel gavoa kol shehu, o kafira kol shehu, whether the height or the, you know, the size of the decline, even if it's just kol shehu, you're chayav for nezek, so nezek b'kol shehu davar matzui, v'yadua, in a mace bekolshu mitsuya, vareu kimo onus. Curious language. I'll get back to that in a second. Either way, these are two halachas where the Rambam speaks about 10 tvachim. He never mentions a gandri. I should have put here, but I didn't. But I should have. And that is that the Rambam, it is curious that the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, right, when he mentions the din of 24 hours, does not actually quote the case of Rav Nachman. Doesn't quote the case of an animal, you know, that falls, you know, six tfachim. However, the Shulchan Aruch does. Okay, look at the Shulchan Aruch for a minute. This is Yoredei Hilchos Treifos, Siman Nun Ches Seif Aleph, line 12. Nefula Asura, an animal that fell and sustained damage, obviously, is prohibited to eat. Ketzad behema shenafla, based on our Gemara, an animal that fell. Im hayso medas al ragleha kishenafla, if it was previously standing before it fell. Im yesh mikresa adamakam shenafla shamasar tvachim, if the combined amount of the impact is 10 tvachim, combining, right, the height of the animal, right, with the depth of the pit. Choshishin Shema Nisrasku Evareha. We should be concerned that maybe the injury that was sustained, right, was made in a trefa. Vimhaisa Shocheves Vinizgalgala Vinafla. If the animal, on the other hand, was lying down, meaning Gandari, right? Then, Sarashia Gova Amokomasar Tvachim, in order to worry about it, make it a suffix trefa, right, it has to have been inside a 10 tvachim pit. In other words, you need 10 tvachim pit for a gandari, and the combination for a standing animal. V'hadabin and gov yud tvachim, dafka v'nafal mi'atzma, then Shechnor qualifies it, right, based on other poskim, that's only if it fell, ohi pilu acherim v'yada shirotza la'pila, avalim b'pilu acherim shalom idaita, if it was sudden and it got pushed, rather than falling, right, or resisting, or filu yada bekach, elisha pilu bevasachas, or it fell in one fell swoop, all 10 tvachim, instead of, like, you know, rolling around a little bit, bumping around a little bit, afilu pachas v'asar tvachim choshila, vein chilik bazeb, vein behem la'of, of na midina hachi, etc. Okay, very interesting halacha. Now, the Shulchan Aruch paskins are gemara. What's fascinating is if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, which I also should have put down here, but I was a bit in a hurry. There he doesn't mention the distinction between a gandri and loi gandri with regard to the chiyuv niskei mamon. It just says that the pit just quotes the Mishnah like the Rambam. Basically quotes the language of the Rambam that I've just read, but in Perikid Beis, Halacha Yud, and Halacha Tesvav. And they notice that Kalim in the Shulchan Aruch wonder, like, why in Chosha Mishpat is the Gemara ignoring Rav Nachman, especially since he paskens like a minyan. As it happens, I said, for the Rambam, at least one could think that maybe the Rambam just doesn't pasken like this whole Gemara of Rav Nachman, because he doesn't quote the details of it in Hilchos Shechita either. So you could say, in theory, that the Rambam looked around, and he said, what? I mean, all this Mishnah, which is a blanket halacha, which is quoted in other Gemaras, is talking about 10% of the cases? Hard to believe. We don't pasken like Rav Nachman. We don't pasken like him in Bor regarding this Kemamon. We don't pasken like in Treifas either. Maybe. Maybe. But for the Shulchan Aruch, it's a problem. It's a real serious problem. The Taz addresses it. Yom Tov Shlomo, others, they have different suggestions. Let's look for 1 second at the Taz. Imyeshmi Kresa. Everybody have the 19? 19. Mididokat Kresa, Mashud Behemo Medas, Venofelis Myri, an animal standing that fell. The Uz Modedin, Ayud Tvachim, then you measure the 10. Mikresa from its stomach. Dehina Adla Aretz Yesh Dao Tvachim. Dimyeshmi Borvav Tvachim. So you have the 4, the 6, Trefa. You don't have to have a boar 10 tvachim. Elim kein shashor munach misgalgel la'aretz, unless the animal is lying down and fell in. Does a beten shalashor, the animal's stomach, v'aretz shavim, then you need 10. V'abesif Yosef tama, v'abela kosavatur kein. Right? Why didn't he write this in Chosha Mishpat? Right? Ubamasha kasav nicha, el sheish lahakshas, lama kasavatur bechosha mishpat simin taf yud, linya nazik and chapotra mazik, elin kain yesh rasor tvachim babor. There he writes that you need 10 tvachim in the boar. Uloch hashvina mikre sadara, apparently we don't count the standing height of the animal. Right? Kvartirits rashal, the marshal, in Parakapara and Bavakama, and Yom Shal Shlomo says the Bitsirafudim Ragleha Ein Amisa Mitsuya Kolkach Lachain Emes Choshev Laikaonis Linyan Tashlumin. Yom Shal Shlomo's answer is with regard to Choshen Mishpat, it happens, but it's rare. Right? And therefore we consider it to be an onus. Zero Tam Shapota Mimisa Sashor Bapachas Miyud. Lachain Kasav Ram Leheja. Ram does say that if it happens, it's an onus. We'll get back to that. I don't think he means it the way the Marsha. Avalinian trefos ain't chiluk budzeh. Right? Meaning, it's in one case, it's an onus. That's a din in dine mabinis. Do you have to pay or not? That's Yom Shal Shlomo's answer. The question in Bava Kama is, are you responsible? So it doesn't happen all the time, even though it did happen in this case, you know, you're an onus. In Trefus, the question is, did it happen? We don't care whether it was predictable that it would happen. It's not a question of responsibility. It's a question of, you know, is it a trefa or not? Identification. Mikomokom, pachos miyuna matzir flo shayich bei tzad misa. Vimkein kol zman shalom meisa lo mitrafinan af shalom amda ad kan lashon. Udvar v'chonim, u'prisha, u'morichami, this is the Taz writing, meaning the Bach, my father-in-law, kosvo, d'yesh was a safek latur, they explain it a little bit differently. Basically, in this situation, there's a safek. So safek mamon is lahakel, motzim echirel levaraya, that's their solution. Right? Not honest. Not what the Yom Shal Shlomo says. Safek. Safek mamon is lakula. Safek treifa is lachumra. Right? Okay, fine, I'm not going to go into there are different answers that are given to this question, but the best answer to this question is not, in my opinion, the answer of the Amos Shalom or the Paz or the others, but the Rajba. And that's what we spoke a little bit about last time. The Rajba addresses this question, and in my opinion, totally shittas of the other four or five Rajbas that we saw, it gives the following simple answer. When the Gemara says, how does the Gemara go? The Gemara starts off with Bava Kamma, right? Then they tell the story of Rav Nachman, but then you see from Rav Nachman that Chibut B'Pachas Me'asara is Chibut, even Ligabi Misa. The Gemara says, maybe no, maybe it's the Hevel, like this, whatever, fine. Finally, the Gemara says, no. Rav Nachman requires Chibut of 10, right? But you have Chibut of 10 because of the combination of the height of the animal and the depth of the pit. And the Gemara says, and what are you going to do with the Mishnah earlier, which says you need a boar, which is 10 tefachim? The Gemara says the answer is a gandari. Okay. So many of the Rishonim understand, like we just said, that what that means is there's no difference between the rule regarding Trefa and the rule regarding this game Mamon. What do you do with the Mishnah? Well, you see from the Trefa case that the impact of 10 tefachim is what's Koveya. What about the Mishnah? No, the Mishnah's telling you an outlying case. Igandri. What about a case where the animal's lying there and falls in? We need to know that case too. There you need 10 tefachim, a bar of 10 tefachim. The Rajma didn't read the Gemara that way. The Rajma said, the Gemara says, what are you going to do with the Mishnah? The Gemara says, the Mishnah is always Koveya for Niskei Mamon. In every case. Why? Because the Mishnah needs to describe a pit which can be mamis under all conditions, even igandari. Because it's a shiur in the hezek of the pit. Not in the I'm adding now. Not just in the responsibility or the reconstruction of how the animal died. Let's say every time an animal falls, 10 tvachim, a combination of this and that, maybe it'll die. But that doesn't mean that the pit killed it. Right? So let me take it even further. He doesn't say this part, but I'm saying this part based on the things that we already saw that he said. If the mechayiv of bor in this kemamon is the nezek or the hezek, then what difference does it make whether the bor has the capacity to kill, you know, whether the animal's standing or prone or lying, or who cares? We should always look at each case and see, you know, whether or not you having dug that pit turned out to have been what would kill this animal or not. But if the idea of the boar is ein darko leilch lahazik, but it's tchilas asiyas alenezek, meaning the idea of the boar is yitzira satakala, so when you dig it, the question is, what have you done? The answer is, you have created a killer boar. What makes something a killer boar? The way the Raja reads the Gemara is, the answer is, a boar that can kill notwithstanding the circumstances in which the animal is. A boar that will only kill if the animal is standing is not a killer boar. Only a boar that kills no matter what the circumstances the animal's in is a killer boar. You're chayiv to pay for the killing only to the extent that you created a killer boar. So where does the Rajba say? He doesn't say that part of it, but he does say the other part. Look at the Rajba. Masisani Ganduri Ganduri, page 3, page number 12, and with this we'll complete for today, and then we just have a little more to discuss next week. Says the Rashi, Mistabrali the Lavla member de Masnisin, the Tani Asara, Vahoyu Pusami Asara, Tafkad Igander, Iganduri. Hanafal Kadarka, Filibishisa Sagyali Midishmo. Don't think that what the Gemara means, which is the way the other Rishonim read it, is that we have to now go back to the Mishnah, right, or to the halacha, to the Choshev Mishpat of the Rambam, and reformulate the halacha and say, "Bamedvar mamurim bi'gandari aval ba'omed." Right, it's enough to have a combination. No, de'imkein liflug v'lisni b'didei. It should have said that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about 10% of the cases. It should have said in the Mishnah, "Bamedvar mamurim b'mizgalgel aval lofa kadarka afilu b'shisha chayev." Vote. Moreover, an interesting point of the Rashba. Let's say you have a 6 tefach pit. So for most animals, Isn't that a takala in a way? Most animals fall when they're standing. So good, this animal was rolling. The Rajba assumes also in Bor. We'll get back to that next week when we finish up. So he says, I don't understand. If the main peril, you know, in most cases comes from a six tefach Bor, the digna six tefach Bor, at least the skilas of Bshia. Ba'od. Here, knowing the Rajba 50 dapim earlier is very helpful. Namely, he took it seriously that there are two avos, an av for nezek, bor, and an av for misa, bor. So he says, there are two avos. These are two different chalos bors. V'imisa shal nezikim v'shal misa kol echad. Six tefachim is a nezik bor, and most of the time it's a misa bor. If they're distinctive bors measured by heights, then you need 10. U'kashenof l'kadarka, midorof l'kadarka is 6. V'rov shvarim chei reshota v'kata noflin kadarka v'derek hilucham v'lo derek gindur. Eronir alihachem perusha d'matznisen. This is what the Mishnah is supposed to be saying to us according to the Gemara. Dila tashlumin, right? Ve'ike megander de'enbo kidei lahamis b'pachas mi'asara lefikach shaninu asara lomar shalom chivatar ele b'bor sheyesh bo li'olam kidei lahamis ve'afilu b'megander. The chiyav is for digging the bor, and it's a killer pit as opposed to a nezek pit. So what defines a killer pit? A pit that has the capacity to kill no matter the circumstances. And that's what the Rush, by the way, says very, very succinctly in one line. Look at the number 21. V'chein pirish ha-Rush. V'zeh lishon di-gandar. Pirish. Lochiva Torah korabor. Ah. The digging of the pit. Notice how he emphasizes the korah, the digging part. Elim kein roi ashor anofa bo lamus be'eza inyan shiyipol af bi-gandar. We don't reconstruct in each case and say, what he did turn out to be the fatal blow. We look in advance, predictively, and we say, what kind of peril did he create here? And for that we say, it doesn't depend on 80% of the cases. It depends on, capacity-wise, 100% of the cases. And therefore you need a bar asara. That works in very beautifully with things like that. So what remains to be done is I want to talk next week about digging. Two people who dig a pit. One digs 9, the other completes to 10. One digs 10, the other completes to 11. One does 10, the other completes to 20. Are there differences in those cases? That's one question. Second question, which we touched on the other day, last week, and that is an animal falls into a less than 10 tefach bor, and it's damaged, and then it dies. Right? Do you pay for the damage? That's what you asked me last week. Miri and Ravini Yonis, I want to talk about that. And then I want to talk about a few other cases also, Tzkilas and Shiva Sofa Ba'ones, a few other issues in Bor, and then we'll move on to Adam.